Welcome to a SearchOracle.com podcast. This is Mark Fontecchio. I'm the editor of SearchOracle.com. And with me today, I have Rob Enderle. He's an industry analyst, and he's going to talk to us today about the HP versus Oracle lawsuit that involves the Intel Itanium chip. So just as a summary for the story, Oracle announced back in March of 2011 that it would stop porting its software for the Intel Itanium chip, and that meant HP Integrity servers. This is going to affect about 140,000 customers. So HP sued Oracle, and now they just finished up closing arguments this week in the case. So, Rob, from what you've seen and read throughout the whole lawsuit and the trial, what are your kind of overall thoughts?
Well, Oracle's decision had nothing to do with Itanium. It had everything to do with wanting to support its failing hardware business. It had acquired Sun Systems, and the products were failing in market. In fact, that was why Sun was in massive decline, and why they had been up for acquisition by IBM, and how Oracle got hold of them in the first place. It was a troubled company, one that was in the middle of collapse. Customers were abandoning the platform in massive numbers. So Oracle had to hold it up. In fact, part of the problem was the European government, over a long period of time, delayed Oracle's ability to go in and act on Sun by holding off on approving the acquisition, which made it even worse when Oracle got it. It was beyond life support. It was in zombie land. And Oracle needed to fix that. Oracle needed to drive customers back to the Sun platform, and clearly had no time to actually fix the hardware or software or rebuild the company. The only lever that it had was one tied to its software, where it became a you move to Sun or else, or you stay on Sun or else. And the largest base that was vulnerable was Hewlett-Packard. So they contrived an argument, and that argument was that Itanium was soon to be discontinued, and therefore they shouldn't support it. The problem with the argument, irregardless of the truth or untruth of it, is the fact in this class of system you are expected to support even obsolete hardware for up to 10 years. IBM couldn't pull support on something that they had or anticipating discontinuing in advance of that discontinuance. And in fact, in this class of product, they would have issues with customers even if they pulled support 5 years after the act had occurred. So that became the kind of, at least in my mind, the fundamental flaw in the overall approach. Even if it was true, Oracle's behavior was in conflict with best business practice, and really what identifies and separates an enterprise class vendor, which Oracle supposedly is, from somebody that deals in consumer products. So Apple could certainly do this, but Apple is a consumer products company, and that really defines kind of the difference between a consumer products company. They can do anything they want on a whim because they live quarter to quarter, and an enterprise company which lives decade to decade. So my own theory is what we had was tremendous desire to do something and a lot of creativity in terms of getting it done, but a fundamental separation between the practices that a vendor of Oracle's class should be exhibiting and a company like Apple.
So let's follow down that thread a little bit. You know, like I said earlier, about 140,000 companies out there run Oracle on Itanium.
Right.
So I'm sure many of them are at least keeping an eye on this case. Should they be thinking about migrating off Itanium no matter the outcome? Or if they are migrating, should they do it soon? Or should they not really worry about it quite yet?
Well, the thing is Oracle has pulled support. Here's the thing. Litigation can fix a lot of things. What litigation can't fix is intent. So you can order Oracle to continue to support something, but if they fundamentally don't want to support it, you're going to have problems. And undoubtedly HP can collect money for those problems over time, but that's not going to fix your issues. This showcases two problems. One, it showcases that Oracle and Itanium is probably not a good idea. It also showcases that Oracle itself is probably not a good idea because the behavior that Oracle is showcasing is one of force. You want to work with a vendor that wants to entice you to do something that you should want to do, not a vendor that's using force to get you to do something that you otherwise wouldn't do. And remember what the market had voted on with regard to Sun Hardware was that they didn't want the hardware. Oracle was using its software lever to force a different outcome. Any vendor that does that, whether it's Microsoft, and when Microsoft tried to use a similar lever, the IT organizations basically created Linux. I mean, it was out there, but they made it into a power. That was undoubtedly the right decision in terms of how do you deal with a vendor that's beginning to act more like a ruler than a vendor should act. And so I think there are two decisions that should be made by these people. One is Oracle on Itanium shouldn't work. And number two is looking for a way to get off of Oracle because this probably won't be the last time the company does this. It's, once you exhibit a customer hostile behavior, you are undoubtedly going to do it again. And you may want to fix both problems. If you move to somebody that supports Itanium, you could ostensibly retain Itanium, but given that Oracle is the one that created and is driving the threat and creating the problem, getting off before the problem becomes unavoidable is probably a wise decision.
Get off of Oracle on Itanium, but kind of maybe look in general at getting off Oracle entirely. For those kind of companies, just generally speaking, that there are hundreds of thousands of Oracle customers out there, do you think that this case might affect how they see Oracle and maybe affect how they, whether they might consider Oracle down the road, especially if they're running non-Oracle hardware?
Well, I think it's you go back to IBM in the 1980s, and and what you have is a situation there where IBM clearly became convinced they were selling air and they could charge whatever it is they wanted to for what was increasingly inferior product. People voted, and IBM went from Forbes number one and company of the decade to the company that had negative brand equity, where people would pay for a white box and third party service more than they would pay for IBM products and services. So given that what happened to IBM in the 80s, I think it takes a while, though. The process started in the early 80s. It ended up at the end of the 80s with a catastrophic event. I do think customers are looking at Oracle kind of sideways now and saying, wait a minute, this isn't right. Intel clearly goes out and talks to these customers directly with regard to Itanium. They, like me, had undoubtedly seen the Itanium roadmaps that had been presented right before Oracle said that Itanium was going to be killed. And undoubtedly recognize that being pushed into Sun is not their idea of a perfect future, given they were abandoning Sun in the process. So at the time, I think if the 1980s are an indicator of future behavior, I think we're within a 5-year horizon of people, large companies finding other ways to do what they're using Oracle to do with some other vendor or solution.
Interesting. Okay. Rob, thanks for talking to us. And thanks to our listeners out there for listening to this SearchOracle.com podcast.